We're going to start the book of Acts tonight. And so we're in chapter 1 of the book of Acts. And how this is the a great, great book. It's about the beginning of the church and what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming upon the church and enabling the apostles to do what they did. And this book is actually written by Dr. Luke. He was a doctor, a medical doctor, and he wrote the Gospel of Luke. And this is a continuation, an extension of the Gospel of Luke. And, you know, it's interesting that everyone seems to say, and it's true, that the Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament because he wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. But actually, Luke is the one that wrote the most verses. Where Paul wrote the most books, Luke wrote the most verses, because when you put the book of Acts together with the Gospel of Luke, it's more verses than Paul wrote. So just a little Bible trivia there for if you're ever stuck in a game that's playing Bible trivia, that you'll know that Luke actually wrote most of the New Testament. So here it is. Now let's go ahead and begin reading. It says this, well, first of all, just to let you know, it was written about 60 AD, about 60 AD. And tradition says that Theophilus, who is mentioned here in verse 1, Theophilus, it's a Greek name, he was actually a wealthy Roman official who had purchased Luke's freedom. That's just tradition. And to be a Roman citizen, you could buy being a citizen of Rome. And so that is really what was up with Theophilus. Being bought by this Roman official, I mean Luke. Let's go ahead and begin reading. It says, "The former treatise have I made," that is the Gospel of Luke, "O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach." Always love that clause. This is what Jesus began to do and teach, was in the Gospel of Luke. And then in the book of Acts, the work of Jesus is continued. And Acts kind of ends up in the air. Chapter 29, it kind of ends up in the air because we're writing the new chapters as we live our lives out, because there's all these things that Jesus is doing in and through every generation after the book of Acts. So I think it's just left up in the air on purpose. It leaves us with Paul in jail at Rome, as that's where the book stops. And it just seems like, well, what's the ending? Well, the ending is still being written, and that's you and I. And so we're like chapter, 234 of Acts, that's what God's doing in our lives. And that's kind of exciting. So these are the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So actually Jesus made 10 appearances in 40 days. 10 times he appeared to his followers and even to more than 500 people at the Sea of Galilee after his resurrection. And this took 40 days. And so it says, now they were assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, as he was together with them after all these infallible proofs of his resurrection. Was there and said to them that they should wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, "You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now." And actually, they just had to wait 10 days for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come, because it's called Pentecost. When it happened, Pente means 50, so it's 40 days that he appeared to them in many different times and ways. And then 10 days later at Pentecost is when the Spirit of God fell on the church for the first time. And we read in verse 5 again, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now." So now I wanted to show you this in the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, it talks there in the Gospels about this promise that was coming, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So let's go to Matthew chapter 3 in the New Testament, the first Gospel. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. And here we see John the Baptist is speaking, and he says this, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now the fire part of it is the fiery trials that we go through. And you've heard about people saying, you know, "I went into World War II and I was baptized in fire. I was in the foxhole and I gave myself to the Lord," being baptized with that fire there. You know, trials many times bring us closer to the Lord. And so the Lord does baptize us with fire. But this middle one is the Holy Ghost that John is saying, yeah, I'm baptizing with water, and they came confessing their sins to have their sins washed away, but there's some other baptism coming, and that's with the Lord Jesus, whose shoes John wasn't even worthy to untie. That verse has always touched me. I'll never forget the first time I read that. It was in my bedroom in Long Beach and reading through the scriptures, and I read that, and I just started to weep before the Lord. I'm thinking, yes, Lord, I am not worthy to even latch up your sandals or tie your shoes. And I just felt that deeply when I read that. And so that's what John is saying about Jesus. But he is the Holy Ghost baptizer. And that is a real experience that God intends for each believer, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Ghost can be a second experience in your life. And it comes in two experiences in some lives. That's what happened to Sherry and I. We were saved, but then later we were baptized in the Spirit. And that's the way it happened with the apostles. They were saved and later baptized in the Spirit. And that's the way it happened with others in the book of Acts, like Apollos. So I want to, first of all, show you in the scriptures the two experience testimony. And so that might happen to you. You might not be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you need to be, or you might be and you don't know it, so it's good to study about it. Or you might be and you know it. And so, anyway, we're going to study it. So one way is this with the second experience. You're saved and then you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. And let me show that to you in the scriptures. So let's go to John chapter 20 first. That's the last gospel, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John chapter 20 and verse 21. Jesus shows up after the resurrection, and he's there with the apostles on this is on the first day of his resurrection, so there's like 39 days to go of more appearances, but he appears to the apostles, and he says to them, "Peace be unto you," in verse 21 of John 20, "as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So in my book, these guys were saved right at that time because they received the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Jesus breathed on them. Oh, imagine having that done by Jesus. He just breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And so they were saved. They were born again, and they're going to heaven. But then, let's go forward again to the book of Acts, and we go to chapter 1 again, and we read here that Jesus says to them just before he leaves the earth, 39 days later, and he says to them, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. So what's going on here? Well, they received the Holy Spirit when he breathed on them for salvation. And now they're to wait. He says to them, wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for that promise, which, said he, you have heard of me. For yes, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. So the second experience. And then in Acts chapter 2, which we'll get to in a maybe next week, maybe the week after that, probably the week after that, and the Spirit falls, and they are gloriously baptized in the Holy Spirit of God, and just blessed with this power and this love to serve the Lord. And so they had to wait for that. And I want to go ahead now and turn with you to Acts chapter 18 for another example of a brother named Apollos that had the two experiences. First he got saved, then he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then I'll share my testimony, Sherry's, and my testimony about this that experienced it the same way. So here in Acts chapter 18, and starting at verse 24, Acts 18, 24, there was a certain Jew named Apollos. Now this guy was really sharp. You know, they say that the Apostle Paul wasn't a very dynamic speaker. He was just you know, not good with the words, but he got choked out, and he was able to say it and so forth. But this guy was one of these Greek polished speakers, probably been to the school of Tyrannus or some other oratory school. But anyway, it says there was a certain Jew named Apollos born at Alexandria. There was one such school in Alexandria, which is North Africa. He was an elegant man. Oh, man. He had the gift of the gab and mighty in the scriptures, and he came to Ephesus. Now this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. That's all he knew, the baptism of John. So actually letting us know that he was not yet baptized in the Holy Ghost. But he's a great speaker. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla, now these are a couple of stars of the book of Acts, this dear couple, they were tent makers as a profession. They, we'll learn more about them as we go through the book of Acts, but they saw and heard him speak, Apollos. And he was speaking of the things of the Lord. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. In other words, just saying, you know, Apollos, you're a great speaker and you're speaking out for the Lord, but, you know, you really need a touch from the Holy Ghost kind of thing, you know, and ministering to him that way. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, which is a province in Greece, where Corinth was, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, he helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And so experiencing that wonderful thing of being used by God to show that Jesus is Christ. Now, in verse 19, Paul shows up at Ephesus, where Apollos was ministering in the beginning, and he did not share with them about the Holy Spirit because he had just had the baptism of John. And so it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And he showed up there where Apollos had been, but went on to Corinth. And finding certain disciples, he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" So they were believers. But he's asking them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost." And he said to them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Boy, this, you know, let's just go back to that first verse we read tonight. It says about to wait for the promise of the Father, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And remember that verse. And so he asked them, "Well, what were you baptized then?" He said, "Unto John's baptism, the baptism of repentance of sin, to come to the Lord." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And all the men, there were about 12 men." And so they received that blessing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, kind of in two stages. They wanted to believe. It says that they believed, but they'd only experienced the baptism of John. And so the Apostle Paul went and laid hands, and they received the baptism of the Spirit, and they received gifts of the Spirit. They began to speak with tongues and prophesying. Well, Sherry and I were raised in a Baptist church, and we were Presbyterian before that. And man, how many brands have we been? About 11 brands. Anyway, so we're in this Baptist church where they were teaching, you know, that the gifts of the Spirit were for yesteryear and they don't really work today, kind of thing. And then we got involved with Calvary Chapel. And we went on a retreat, our first retreat. It was only $5. I mean, those are back in the days when Chuck just wanted to share his money with everybody. He let everybody go up to Idlewild to a wonderful retreat for just $5 a piece. And of course, it was back in the 1970s, so things were cheaper. But we got up there. And because we were Baptists and we kind of heard that, you know, the Holy Spirit is something you really don't want to mess with, you know, kind of thing. And that teaching among the church brethren there, we were sitting in church and they said, "Well, now we're going to have an afterglow after the service up in the mountains. And so if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can come down here. And we'll pray for you and lay hands on you like the Apostle Paul did these brothers in Ephesus." And so I just ran out the back door. For some reason, I was just really scared. I was intimidated with the thought of the Holy Spirit that was scary to me. And, you know, from what I'd been taught at the Baptist church and all. So I went back to my room. And I was sitting there on my bunk, which was the bottom bunk. There was bunk beds, and they had several couples together in different bunk beds, and Sherry was there with me, and this one brother noticed me run out the back door at church, and so he was concerned for me, and he came running in. He said, "Mark, what's the matter, man?" I says, "You know what? This baptism of the Holy Spirit, it might be for lots of folks and everything, but it's not for me." And I got real stubborn about it. You know, I was real defensive. And Leon was just very gentle and kind, and looking at me says, "Oh, okay, you just feel kind of like you don't want anything to do with this." Well, anyway, he just went into the bathroom and he was praying for me in there. Said, "Lord, just help Mark to just lighten up about this, and to get all that you want for him." And so he came back, and by then my heart had softened. And I said, "Leon," I said, "I want everything that God has for me." And so I got on my knees on the floor, and Leon laid his hands on me and prayed. And I just burst forth in wild tongues. Well, now this is just my personality, okay? Don't get afraid of this. Sherry did. Sherry was afraid. She's a very quiet girl. And so here I am, and I'm bursting out in this new language at the top of my lungs, and I'm so blessed. I'm laughing and crying, and I'm an emotional guy, you know me. And so it was just all coming out, and then I began to have words of prophecy for the people in the room. And this really blew her away, and she started feeling like I was leaving her in the spiritual dust. That man, that Mark is going out there with the Lord, and I'm never going to catch up. And she started to cry. And then the Lord's Spirit came upon her with the baptism of tears and began to minister to her spirit. So that was the night that we were baptized in the Holy Spirit of the living God. And I am telling you, I just felt like I was on a honeymoon with Jesus. And I'll never forget, I can still remember it right now, coming down that hill in that bus. It was a school bus, and I was just looking out the window at the clouds and just loving Jesus, so in love with the Lord, because he had touched me and gifted me and empowered me with his spirit. And I would be remiss to not tell you about that. And because I don't want you to miss that. I don't want you to miss that. No. Now, many of you already know about it. You've already experienced that. You could probably give a similar testimony. But some, maybe you haven't. Maybe you've just been a churchgoer. And maybe you were raised in a church where they were kind of not too big on the Holy Ghost, So, but you need to know about that touch. It's an extra special thing. And that's what it's talked about next in chapter 1. So let's go back to chapter 1 and talk about this, okay? So we go back to chapter 1 of Acts. And now, and take a look at what it says next. Chapter 1 and verse 8. Now it says, well, let's read verse 6 because we didn't read that yet. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power." Really dangerous to listen to anyone that's going to tell you exactly the day that Jesus is coming back. No man knows the day or the hour. No one. And so we have to remember that scripture and always go with it. But here it says that the Lord, the Father, has owned this situation and when this is going to happen, when the kingdom will be set up. And so Jesus said, you just need to be satisfied with that. That the Father knows. The Father knows, and he knows best, and he's taking care of us and ministering to us, and one of these days he's going to wrap it up. And so then he says in verse 8, "But you shall receive power." Power, dunamos, is the Greek word from which we get our word dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. All of these words come from dunamos. And so the Lord wants to give us a mighty power, a mighty power. After the Holy Ghost is come upon you, upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, which is your hometown, Judea, which is like Orange County, Samaria, which would be the next county over, Riverside County, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, that God might call you to go to a different country and be ministering there. For years, when I became a pastor, I would teach, I'm never going to Africa. And I would teach that as a comforting thing to the congregation. You can come to Jesus, and he's not going to send you to Africa. Don't worry about it. You know, because people think, man, I'm going to get saved, and the Lord's going to call me to Africa, and I've got to go to Africa. And so I would kind of preach that because I never felt like I would. But Sherry and I ended up there in Africa. And she's got quite a story about that. Sometime she'll have to bring her aunt pictures to you. I don't know how many. Has some of you seen that presentation about the ants and Sherry in Africa? There was this 6-foot ant hill with African ants with pinchers like a crab. Oh man, these guys were scary. In front of the compound where we stayed overnight. And it was out in the bush. It was really lonely out there. I think we had the only car in several miles. But anyway, it was 5 miles, 8 miles, 5 miles, 8 miles, 5 miles. One of the two from the Sudanese border in the north part of Uganda. And we flew into a dirt runway in a propeller plane. It's just a real Indiana Jones adventure. And I remember getting in the van, which was an old Volkswagen van, and driving 5.5 hours from the airport to get to where we're going. And we went down this one road that had grass growing higher than the Volkswagen bus. And in the middle of the road, there was grass growing higher than the bus. And as the bus went, there were just two brown spots, and they were the tires, the tire marks of all the cars that went on this road. But as you went on this road, the grass would go down underneath your car and then spring back up like that. And the guy in the front seat turned around and said, "We're in Africa." We know it now. We're in Africa. Oh, yeah. It was kind of scary, a little bit claustrophobic. But we finally got to our spot. Anyway, back to the ants. So we got these pincher ants. Their trail was about this wide. And Sherry's got a film of this. She filmed the ants. And coming out of this 6-foot, I kid you not, the ant hill was as tall as me. And these guys are coming down, you know, and they've got this trail going out in front. Well, we've been warned, don't step in the ant trail, because faster than a speeding bullet, they run up your legs underneath your pants, and they look for the nearest hair. Isn't that horrible? And they just climb down your shafts of your hair and put their pinchers into your skin. And some people have been known to just go stark raving mad and run off into the jungle. Oh man, that's what they told us at dinner the night before. It was really a scary story. So anyway, we come out of the thing, and there's the ant trail. Everybody's going, "Be kept, don't step in the ant trail." Well, Sherry's boot gets stuck on her other boot, and she's got stuff in her hands. She's going to the church to teach on spiritual warfare. And she trips. And she lands in the rocks and skins her head. When she got up, there was blood here and blood on her collarbone and blood on her chin. I'm no good in an emergency, I'll just tell you right now. I just freeze, and I was just looking at her. But anyway, she skid on her face into the ant trail. And all those ants loaded her head. Lickety split. It was really scary. And when she got up and looked at me, it was like Medusa. She had her head was alive, you know, and blood on her face, and I froze. I just you know, I just froze. And so then somebody said, "Rip off your clothes," and I'm thinking, "No, don't do that." I think that got me out of it, you know. But two girls, a doctor was a doctor girl, and she was a lovely lady. Her name's Elizabeth. And another girl took her into the room and actually pulled those ants off the top of her head. She says that it felt like a helmet. And for 10 minutes, she could feel the hurting. But it had to be a miracle because they said that that hurts for days, weeks, whatever. But it only hurt her for about 10 minutes, the pinchers in the heads, in the head. And they had to, you have to pull them out one by one because they're stuck. She got one on her arm, and you can't brush it off because it's, you got to, you know, get in there and dig. So they pulled the ants off her hair, shaft at a time. This one doctor was so good. She really ministered peace. I mean, she was just calmly, you know, "I've been here. I'm an African. I've been here in Africa for a while, and we're just going to deal with these ants one by one." Later on, she told us she was freaking out inside, but she pulled one ant off a long shaft of hair, and then she threw it on the floor. And my job was to stomp the ants. And I was really good. I got those old boots going, man, and I was able to do those guys in, you know. And so there was about like 100 ants that they took out of her head. And then I was so proud of her because she just threw her hair back and said, "Let's go teach the Bible." Blew us all away, you know. She knew that was a spiritual attack. I don't know why I got on all that. Anyway, just the ant experience. It's we tell it to the kids a lot here at chapel. And this one little kid came up to me in the hallway one day, and he started tugging on my pants. And I looked down at him, and he was saying something. I couldn't hear him, and I said, "What?" And he said it louder, and then I said, "What?" And then he went, "Ants, ants." He wanted me to tell him the ant story again, you know. But anyway, so the uttermost parts of the world, you never say you're never going anywhere. You might go there as the Lord leads you. But it is a powerful thing, this Holy Spirit of God, the dunamis power of the Lord after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, to some people, it happens all at once. You get saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit all in one event. And that might be you. That might be you. And maybe many Baptists, that's what happens to them. They get saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost all in one fell swoop. Dr. McGee was either a Brethren or a Baptist, one of those in there and somewhere. But he would teach on the radio that the gifts were for yesteryear. And so he really didn't, you know, go in for the Holy Ghost real big. But you can't tell me he didn't have the gift of teaching. Oh man, he could teach up a storm. And I saw him in person once. I was so blessed to see him over at the Anaheim Convention Center one year. And he taught. So some people get it all at once. And I'd like to show you that in the Bible. So let's go to chapter 10 of Acts, all right? Chapter 10 of Acts. And we want to read the first five verses. Now, this is when the Gentiles started coming to Jesus, the non-Jews, the Roman soldiers. A lot of them got saved. The centurion that was responsible for putting Jesus on the cross of the men, in charge of 100 men, a centurion's in charge of 100 men, he got saved when he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And this here is another centurion. Okay, so it says there was a certain man in Caesarea. Now, Caesarea is a seacoast village in Israel, and it's where King Herod had a beautiful castle, and Pontius Pilate was down there. That's where they found the actual name of Pontius Pilate written in stone at Caesarea. And on Israel trips, when you go to Caesarea, they show you the stone and they show you the name of Pontius Pilate. He was a historical figure, his name written in stone at Caesarea. Well, it says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion. So he's the leader of 100 Roman soldiers. And it says of the band called the Italian Band. Well, that's appropriate, isn't it? If you're going to be a centurion of a band of soldiers from Rome, it's a good name, Italian Band. A devout man, and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He was always talking to the Lord. And he saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, which is a seaport city that's called Jaffa today in Israel. And you can visit there. It's where Solomon's trees came in from Lebanon to build his palaces and the temple. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. So God wanted to save these Italians that were so devout before him and that were giving money to his cause. And the angel was sent to give a vision that they should go to Joppa, which was really close to Caesarea. It's just down the road to from Caesarea. It's a little north of Caesarea, to go get Peter. And so they went and got Peter, and we'll go through this whole story line upon line when we get to it. But I wanted to make the point that these guys were ready for salvation and baptism of the Holy Ghost all in one fell swoop. Because Peter started preaching to them about the Lord. And so let's go on over to verse 44. And Peter gives a nice sermon and everything about Jesus and receiving Jesus. And then in verse 44 it says, while Peter yet spoke, he hadn't even finished his sermon. And these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Jewish people, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Because on the Gentiles, the non-Jews, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I'm so glad that happened. Because I'm Gentile, you're Gentile. I've got a little bit of Jewish in me, I heard. That's great. Mostly Gentile. And so the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles right here. And so we read on, it says also, the gift of the Spirit was poured out upon them. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter said this, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they to him, or they asked Peter, please stay with us for certain days. We want to talk to you and be with you and stuff. So there you see it. It can happen in one fell swoop. This Italian band, we're still listening to their saving sermon that the Lord was bringing through Peter about Jesus Christ, and he wasn't even done his sermon. These guys were, I guess, the Lord looked down and saw the hearts of that Italian band, and they were so for the Lord, he just zapped them right there before the sermon was even over. And they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. It was beautiful. I can just picture it. And there it is. So it can either happen in two steps or in one step. So it's all between the person and the Lord. And so you know where you're at. You know what's happened to you. You know about your walk. An evidence of being of having the experience of the baptism of the Spirit is, are you a witness for Christ? Because that's why it's given. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and look at this verse again, a little closer now. You shall receive power, dunamis power, after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And what's the result of that? You shall be witnesses. You're going to have some kind of witness. You know, I look at John Luke back there in the back row, and I don't want to embarrass him, but he does a lot of witnessing at Walmart. That seems to be his place of residence. He runs into all kinds of people over there and all kinds of great stories. Ask him to tell you one of his Walmart stories after the service right there. If he doesn't sneak out the back door. Anyway, so this is such a great thing. That you shall be witnesses unto me in your hometown, Anaheim or Garden Grove or wherever we live, and Judea or Orange County, and also Riverside County if you go there. And you take your tracks and you leave a track in a bathroom in Riverside County, you're being a witness up there. And yes, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Be open to the Lord. You never know. God might want to take you somewhere and let you be a witness there also. And that's the most powerful thing, because you go in the power of the Spirit of God. And it is just a wonderful deal. And so there it is. Now, I wanted to give you one more thought and scripture on this, this idea. But the thing is this. When you get saved, the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside you and is always with you. And that is wonderful. And you could possibly sit in the pew most of your life and really not be involved with being a witness and still have that peace and tranquility with the Lord. And let me show you the scripture about that. Let's go to, just keep your finger in Acts chapter 1, because we're coming right back. And I want to show you a few Greek words here about this whole thing. So let's go to John chapter 14, John 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse 16 and 17. Now, the Lord Jesus is about ready to go to the cross. He wants to promise you about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's ministry to you and I. And he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, that word with is the Greek word para. That's so the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. How long will he stay? Forever. How long are you staying, Holy Spirit? Forever. Oh, yeah, that's great. Even the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. There's that Greek word again, para, with you, and shall be in you. And this is the Greek word en, in, inside you. And so you've got the Holy Spirit with you and in you. This is wonderful. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is another experience. It's upon you, upon you. It's with you and in you, but when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, he's upon you. And so let's go back and see Acts. Let's go back to Acts 1, or up to Acts 1, verse 8, and just read that again, and then I'll just tell you a little bit about that. It says that but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This is a different Greek word. It's epi, upon you. So we really want the epi experience so that we can become witnesses. And, you know, some folks just don't like the idea of being a witness for Christ, and they want to shy back, and that's their choice, and that's okay. That's okay. But if you really want to be a witness for Christ, which is the most exciting thing about your walk here on earth, because the most exciting scary, persecuting things happen. And I like to think more about the exciting times. You know, things happen when you're walking with Jesus, and you wanted the epi experience, and He gave it to you. And all you have to do is ask. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give those the Holy Spirit who ask Him? And so if you want the epi experience, you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and then be a witness wherever you go, whether it's in your hometown, little further out, little further out, little further out, or to the uttermost parts of the world, you will be a witness for Jesus Christ. And even if you get like Jeremiah, after you've been baptized in the Spirit, and you say, you know what, I'm not going to speak His word anymore because of the persecution or whatever, His word will burn in you, and you won't be able to keep your mouth shut. You got to talk about the Lord, and you got to tell people about the Lord. And God has divine appointments everywhere. It's amazing how God does that. Boy, I think of another quick testimony I'll give you. On the way to Africa, 14-hour trip, and we had four seats in the very back of the plane up against the firewall, so you couldn't put your chair back. And I was in the middle, and the chair in front of me were hitting my knees. I had a claustrophobic panic attack just from sitting down in that seat. And I'm thinking, I have 14 hours to go. It's just so hairy. It's just, oh man. But the Lord's grace was so with me through that. Well, Sherry's sitting over here, and there's this kind of heavy-set Indian woman sitting next to me. And she was kind of spilling over into my chair, so it made it even smaller, you know. My knees were together and against the front seat. I just thought, man, this is going to be Chinese torture, you know. And she turned to me and she says, you Americans, you always need your personal space, you know. I'm going, oh man, am I in for it now? As we were traveling, I had a pillow with me, and I wasn't really using it. And she said, can I use your pillow? I said, okay. And she put my pillow on my shoulder and put her head down on my shoulder. And I'm beginning to feel, this is weird, and I don't know what I'm going to do now. But the Lord had a plan. This was a divine appointment, because I opened my Bible and started reading, and her head is right there. And she starts reading my Bible with me. And it turns out she's, I don't know, was she Hindu or Buddhist? What did she say she was at the end? Yeah. She had the dot on her head. Is that Hindu? But she's actually reading my Bible, and never had read the Bible before. And so the Lord is speaking to her heart. By the time that 14-hour flight was over, we got up, and she was very proper about it. She started asking questions to Sherry. And, you know, I want to get this right. What did you say? And she say?
I asked
her
if she knew about Jesus.
Okay, yeah. Sherry asked her if she knew about Jesus.
And she said, oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
oh yes, Father, forgive them. She quoted that part of the verse.
And I said, for they know not what they do.
And
burst into wild tears.
Wild tears, right there.
And
yeah.
Fell in my arms.
Fell in her arms. It was the most amazing thing.
And I don't know what it meant to her. She didn't know the rest of that verse.
Yeah, imagine hearing that verse for the first time. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so that just touched her heart.
Yeah.
And she went into wild tears. And of course, we were blessed that God used us on the plane. It wasn't our fault. You know who it was? It was the Holy Ghost, man. It was the Holy Spirit of the living God. And He does stuff like that. And, oh, Cookie's shaking her head. She knows all about this. You can ask Cookie about this, because she's a precious lady, and she knows the Holy Spirit. I know most of you do. It's precious. And so this is the truth of it. that the Lord makes us witnesses. Now, I'd like to say this, that it's like a Coke bottle. And I got this, I can't remember, I got this from a preacher years ago, but it was years ago. But I love this analogy. Picture a Coke bottle, old-fashioned Coke bottle, and you fill it up with water to the top, the very top. And that's like the in you and with you experience, because if you filled it up to the top, you know, they'll be kind of wet on the outside. So it's like the Holy Spirit's with you and in you. It's the living water. What the epi experience is that you put the bottle under the spigot, all filled, and turn on the water. And what happens? It begins to bubble out. That's the gift of tongues. The bubbling out, and everybody or everything around that bottle gets wet with the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so that is what it's like to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, because then you're a witness. You can't help it. The Lord is bubbling out of your life and affecting the people around you. And this is a magnificent thing for us to have. And God gives the Holy Spirit as a gift to those who will simply ask. So tonight we want to just spend, we have a few minutes left, and I would like to end there and ask any of you here tonight, you know, don't feel obligated to come up. Up here, I'm going to go down there and you're going to come up. But if you truly don't know if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, let's just ask the Lord together tonight. I'd like to lay hands on you and pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit maybe years ago and you just want to be refreshed tonight with a prayer for you to receive the power of the Spirit, you can also get in line. And we'll just do that tonight and ask the Lord, okay? So I'm going to come down there and you can meet me and we'll lay hands on you and pray for you. Daniel, you want to do just some music? Can you, bro? Great. I'll come down and we'll just do that and pray for anyone that would like to be prayed for tonight for the Holy Spirit. Now, I know most of you, and most of you, I think, are there. Well, may the Lord bless you tonight and just continue to lead your life day by day. Every day He's with you. And every day He wants to touch us with the power of His Spirit. So God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.